and welcome to the Council of Moms. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark, and we are so excited to join this council together to be able to acknowledge the craziness, the beauty, the wonder, the perplexity that is motherhood. Because we know that we're stronger together, and when we try to do it alone, first of all, it doesn't work, and second of all, it's just not a good idea for anyone. And so the Council of Moms is a really great way for us to come and share ideas, have a laugh, but also to be able to do and really dig into what we really care about. And motherhood is something that we really care about. So I always like to say the Council of Moms, it takes a village. We're the village. This is it, right? Or Council of Moms, I'm counting to three, and I don't know what happens when I get to three. But it's
none of us do.
Nobody knows what it means when you count to three, but here we are. And as always, the Council of Moms, made with real moms. I'm your host, Lisa Valentine Clark. I'm a real mom. I'm the mother of five, mostly grown adults, one that lives at home, the others who I lure back by making lots of food so that they will come to my home and bring their friends still. My kids are ages 17 to 27, and I'm in a very reflective phase of motherhood where I think a lot about the importance of it, and I'm feeling very nostalgic for when they were little. That's the phase of parenting I'm in. Also here today for the Council of Moms, we have...
Hi, I'm Whitney Call. I am a real mom. Sometimes I feel like a fake mom.
You're real.
Yeah, you're here.
I'm doing my best. I am a writer and filmmaker, and school's out, so most of the time that means I'm not writing or filmmaking. I am the mom of three young boys, 9, 8, and 7, and I'm just trying to navigate what it means to have boys in this world right now. That's the phase I'm in. They're not men yet, and I feel like that's a really loaded place to be. And so I'm just trying to like keep my boys lovely and make sure they know they're loved, while also making sure that they know that they're privileged and they're boys and it's okay. We're just balancing it all right now.
And also with us, we have...
Hi, I'm Juhi. I am a pediatrician by day, parent coach by passion, and a mom of two amazing kids 24/7. And I feel like I've learned so much more from my kids than all of my teachers throughout my life. And wow. I'm still learning. So it's overloaded and really going. I have a daughter and a son, and I feel like I'm doing groceries every other day because they're teenagers. And we're just, you know, hanging in there and loving and laughing together.
I love it. And finally...
Hi, my name is Julie Suazo. I am a mom of teens, tweens, and a tiny little surprise baby. So I'm in the very thick of motherhood right now. I have 16, 14, 12, 9, and 2 years old. Oh. So luckily we have that surprise baby to keep us real because our teens are letting us know just how uncool we super duper are. Yeah. But she still thinks we're the very best. So that's great.
So go with that. That's
great. Yeah, keep a surprise one for just that reason, to still make you really cool. The person that she wants to be around all the time.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, we're glad we have you guys here. I'm going to jump into our question from a listener. Dear Council of Moms, I feel so guilty about screen time. My kids get a lot of it, and I keep hearing about how bad it is for them, but I also can't figure out how to realistically scale back since they are already so used to their iPads, or for my older kids, their phones. The precedent has been set. Everybody talks about not giving your kids devices and preventing them from being screen addicted. Nobody talks how to undo it if you're already there. I feel horrible about this. Please help me. How do you walk back screen time when you've already allowed too much for too long? What do you got, Council?
Okay, I'll start. And then we'll get the doctor's opinion, which is probably
right,
which I appreciate. I'm really glad I'm here for this because I'm pretty sure this is my question. I think I wrote this in. One thing that I will say is perspective is very helpful. We come from a generation where screens were like, we just were out in the woods all day.
Yeah.
And so we have like, oh, is this good? And we know that there's obviously some negatives, but my brother-in-law was talking to me. He's a programmer. He's really into that. And my oldest, Frank, is 16 and loves computers. And I'm like, I cannot get this kid, like, off. And he goes, yeah, but he's going to be making money. And I was like, oh, my gosh, like, you're right. Like, there are kids actively making money off of their ability. They're just gifted in that way. And so I'm seeing it almost as, like, a net positive because – I try to balance like how much he's gaming versus how much he's doing things that are productive and that feel good to him on screens. Oh, so like that's where we've kind of found the balance is like, okay, so are you coding? Are you learning to code? What do you want to do here? And we are trying to really balance just not using only recreationally, but really using it to like further a career.
So like
right?
All screen time is not considered equal.
Yeah, for sure.
That's an important point. That's a good point.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. And, you know, everything, just like everything has good and bad to it. Yeah. So it's not all bad. It's not all good. But it's more like, you know, I recently read a book and it The Anxious Generation, and they talk about how we are overprotecting our kids in the real world, but we're underprotecting them online. And I think that's where a lot of this anxiety from a lot of these moms are surfacing, because they're like, am I doing too much? Am I doing too less? Like, is my kid missing out if they're not on screens? But is my kid doing too much if they're on the screens? And then how do you monitor what they're watching on the screens? And in my home, I feel like I've come up with a plan where we do tech-free zones and tech-free times. And so it's more about, you know, boundaries around screens. So like if it's a meal, then it's tech free. And if it's a certain time, like after 8 p.m., it's, you know, for the most part, you are shutting down your screens. And so it's I think, like everything, we're trying to find a balance because screens are not going anywhere. You know, they're part of our lives forever.
Yeah.
I think that's a healthy like approach of the idea of, let's have some boundaries around this. And that's a good way. Like in this question, it's like, how do you walk it back? And that's a parenting question and a screen time question, right? Like too, of like, how do you change your mind as a parent and communicate that with your kid? And how do you change your mind about like tech and what that will look like?
Yeah. I don't have... like my kids aren't in that age yet where this is a huge problem, but I do know when it comes time to adjusting what used to be a norm and now shouldn't be a norm because we're seeing the negative effects. And I feel like in terms of that, it's helpful to include the kids because they know like this generation's teens, like they know the effects of screens. They know the effects of social media. It has been drilled into them at this point. And so to have an honest conversation, I know when we have conversations with our kids about, you know, treats, like that gets way overdone sometimes. And then we're like, oh, like, that's right. We got to scale this back. And if we talk to them and say like, hey, have you guys noticed this? Generally, especially when it's in a neutral zone and it's not right after something has happened where it's like, you just had a treat. So now we need to talk about treats. If it's more just like we're in the car, that's generally a good place to do it. Or maybe during dinner when we're talking about just general things, if we can bring this up and say, hey, we've been noticing this. Can we make a plan together that is sustainable and seems reasonable to you guys? I do feel like in those experiences, getting them on board helps later to enforce it. Because then we can all talk about it and maybe they'll have amnesia and be like, I never said that and totally gaslight you. But you can at least know that when they were in their neutral right minds, they agreed to this plan. And so it's reasonable for you to enforce it.
Yeah. And also like I know some moms are feeling they're feeling overwhelmed because they're like, well, now the cat is out of the bag and now what do I do? And they're feeling a lot of guilt. But, you know, it's more about kind of being intentional and understanding where you stand on that first and then implementing. Because if you change the rules every day, obviously the kid is going to be confused and you're going to be confused. Yeah. And if it is to the point where this mom is feeling like it's too much, then first thing is for her to define what is too much. And also scale it back, like say 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day, you know, versus thinking like, oh, I just need to completely take the screen off, because that is
that's a really good point.
Yeah. I mean, that's really not, I mean, just cutting it back, taking it away is not a solution and it's not practical.
Also, it's so funny because like, don't we always feel like it's all or nothing sometimes? Like, I'm going to throw these phones out the window, like no more. And you're like, okay, scale it back a little bit.
We're not Berenstain bears. It's not going to work.
The Berenstain bear model of parenting is not advised. Not advised by the Council of Moms. It's a lot. It's really intense. Yeah. Those bears were intense. Like, scale it back.
Weren't they? When mama just like froze all the treats and was like, we're only eating vegetables. We're going to run every day. We're going to go shame you at the doctor's office.
We can't do that. We can't have that.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't go from Snickers to celery in one day.
No.
Juhi knows. You know. Yeah.
it's not going to work. No. It's not happening.
I think you can feel prideful too that like, I mean, not prideful. That's the wrong word. But I mean, recognize that like it's kind of a mom's job to be thoughtful about that stuff. So if you recognize it, like, and you go, we're at a high level. Like, this is too much right now. Yeah. I think that like, it's okay to come in and go, hey guys, this is too much. You're going to see that all the time. You might even make rules. Like, we've set curfews. And then for one of my kids, it just doesn't work very well. He like needs a little bit more sleep. And so we talk about that. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing or you should feel bad about the need to roll something back or an assessment that you've made. Like, especially like with your oldest, you're figuring this out, right? Like, we're still going, oh, I thought that that was going to work. It does not work. We're not doing that. So a rollback is totally within your purview. We just did we did a month detox. I was like, we're on detox, everybody. Mm-hmm. And we did. Yeah. We went full nothing.
That's amazing.
It was really interesting because my younger kids, they were a lot quicker at being able to like, there was whining for about 4 days and it was pretty rough. And then they started like entertaining themselves outside. And like it worked. And my 17-year-old spent about 2 weeks on the couch like, I have nothing to do. I don't know what to do. It took him a lot longer to like detox in.
You kind of have to admire that commitment to the bit Julie. Like,
that is amazing.
Also, he just, I think he didn't know how to entertain himself. Like he when he wanted a dopamine hit, he went there. Yeah. But as that like settled in, like now it's like, we meet and we greet and we go, oh, okay, what's your day like today? And it probably involves screens sometimes and it doesn't sometimes, but like they did need their brain, like they needed that shut off.
No, that's such a good point, Julie, because if we, you know, take away the screens, then the boredom comes in. And that's such a big thing because, you know, like how do we fill our time? And if we just do that all or none type thing, then the wheels are turning and then they're trying to figure out now what. Like this happened once in my house and I just, for no reason at all, I was just like, okay, let's just put the phones down on the kitchen counter and go do your thing. And the next thing I knew, 2 hours later, my teenager's room was spick and span and it was absolutely clean. And she donated half the things. And I was like,
that is so cool. That is
that's
so
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I love that.
It was awesome. Yeah.
And sometimes that surprises them too. Like,
yes.
I think sometimes we don't allow for that kind of discovery because we can't see what's forward. We're like, I've used these iPads or these phones to entertain my kids during these. Like, I don't know what's going to happen if I take them away. And because we can't imagine it, we just assume there's nothing, but there actually could be something really great, like a clean room or like, you know, a new kind of game or a new kind of thing for them to discover, time on a talent or a hobby or something like that. Like things that you just really can't foresee.
Mm, yeah. Charlie made an entire arsenal of like paper weapons. So it was like, oh, it's a Nerf gun now. And like, it's a rubber band shooter. And I've got this. And like, he had like, I lost a lot of paper. It was a very expensive a right. day, but it was worth it.
I also feel like sometimes as parents, we are reluctant to go back on things. And like Julie was saying, like you totally can. And I feel like I was reading, it was in Blessings of a Skinned Knee, I think is what the book is called. But they were talking about like two things are guaranteed for your kids, like their shelter and their food. Everything else is a privilege. So, I mean, if we want to really get down to the hard line, I think that phones are a privilege. Screens are a privilege.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if we can remind kids like this isn't a necessity, I think we can enforce that.
Yeah, we forget that they are. We think that they're a necessity. Everybody has them. We need to get a hold of them. And knowing that it is a privilege. And I really appreciated what Juhi was saying about, even walking things back by just sharing the data with our kids. I'm a real big proponent of that, of like, well, yeah, I used to think that. And because they'll be like, well, so-and-so got a phone when they were 14 and I'm 16. And it's like, oh, things have changed. And my kids kind of have a joke that they'll be like, oh, great, Mom read an article, you know? Because once I've read an article, because I'll be like, you know, science says, they say that you should, you know, whatever it is. And they know that now Mom has a quote-unquote new thing that she's going to implement. But I kind of like it that they know that, because I think it's okay to change your mind. And what I want my kids to know is that these aren't arbitrary rules that I'm trying to do to control their lives. These are like intentional choices that I'm trying to make to help them achieve their goals of becoming a happy, productive, well-adjusted member of society that, you know, can flourish on their own. And that there are certain things that I can see that maybe they're too close to that they can't see. That is the guidance. Like, and so I try to tell them the why behind it. And like you were saying, Whitney, like including the kids in on my thought process in order to like have those shared goals. And I think it can lead to two things. It can lead to deeper discussions about how you want to live your life and what that, you know, purposes, and or it can also be like, no, because I said so. You know what I mean? So it's a really kind of hard thing of like, well, I disagree, Mom. I think that this I should have as much access to this as all, you know. And then you're sort of at a crossroads. What do you guys do at sort of that point in the conversation when you're trying to scale something back and you've shared your information and you're at a crossroads?
We've had this conversation about bedtimes. Because my kids, I think they probably go to bed earlier than a lot of other people's kids. But also, we have some kids, you totally can tell when they haven't got enough sleep that they have not gotten enough sleep. And the fact of the matter is, the amount of sleep they've been getting has been consistently helping them have a better day. So we're not scaling it back. And so they've asked us, especially now that it's summer, and we're a little squidgy on summertime, but we've talked to them and said, you know what? I totally hear that you want to push your bedtime back. My job as a parent is to keep you healthy and safe. And this is something that is keeping you healthy right now. And we have seen what happens when you're not doing this. And so I'm making this decision, and I know you don't agree with it, but it's because my job is to keep you healthy. And so I'm going to do this. Now, could they just stay up in their room if they really wanted to? Sure. And with screens, could they try and sneak it? Could they? Sure. But I think like being the bad guy when you're giving them the information, but you're also giving them the intention, like, listen, we've said that outright. I'm not trying to make an arbitrary rule. I'm not trying to throw something out here just because I want a power struggle. I'm doing this because it keeps you healthy and I love you. And they don't hear it at the moment. But it makes me feel better when I'm laying down the law, because then I'm not coming into it with frustration. I think it's also a reminder for me, as much as anyone, that like, I'm not doing this to have a power struggle. I'm doing this because I care about you and because this is a healthy thing.
Yeah, I think it's important for them to also know that they're part of a system. Like, there's going to be systems you're a part of for the rest of your life. If you're at work, if you are, you know, you have your own family or whatever. So this system in the house and the way that things run and the things that we've decided are important affect a family too. Like, you as a human are going to affect the people around you. You're going to affect coworkers. You're going to affect your wife, your future spouse, you know. So... Mm-hmm. You are not just you, and you do not just contain you, and that we're all part of that system.
Yeah. And to use the same, I mean, I love that discussion. And I think we, because screens is such a hot topic right now and it's a new topic, like, we don't think about the same thing as bedtime or sugar or anything, you know, to kind of tie in those things with the screen time is also helpful to us as parents and to the kids, because then they understand, oh yeah, my mom talks about bedtime because I need enough sleep. And in the same breath, we're talking about limiting screen times because it is healthier for me. And that kind of ties in together and makes sense in their little brains. And it also helps us because we're reinforcing the same thing again and again. And that just kind of becomes more consistent versus like, oh, you said this yesterday and something else today. And also to like think about filling the that particular time that is screen free with, like, say, a board game or a walk or something else would also initially help with just getting them started, because it might be hard for them to see the possibility of like, okay, well, my friends are playing on the video game, so like, now what do I do? Like, they're feeling disconnected. But if we kind of fill that with a little connection and something fun, then that would kind of get them rolling on that as well.
I love
And we know how to do it because we didn't have screens.
We're so great. We know how to do stuff.
This is what you could do.
And another thing I just wanted to mention was, you know, modeling, and, you know, parents also need to sometimes understand that if we're going to be like on our screens, then our kids are, I mean, this is going to be maybe a reluctant challenge. You know?
Just wanna
go there as well, because, you know, that's also important. And I mean, I'm guilty. I'm guilty sometimes.
For sure.
And sometimes it also helps me to announce, okay, I'm taking a break from my screen. And it just, it's just an announcement. It's not something that is, you know, directed specifically, but it's just a good reminder for me and for, you know, my family. So just little things that I feel like are helpful.
Yeah, especially as our kids get older, they've responded to that, where I will say, I feel like I'm on my phone too much. I feel like I check it too often, or I've been, you know, taking it to the dinner table, and maybe I shouldn't do that. And acknowledging and having a running dialogue with my older kids about, like, what do you do when you feel like you're on your phone too much? What, you know, or I have this phrase that I use with my kids all the time. I just want you to live in the real world more than you live on the online world. Like, just like, live in the real world. And so sometimes when I'm, when my kids are over and I look at my phone, they're like, let's live in the real world, Mom. And I'm like, okay, touche. But you got to be able to take it though, you know, if you want to, especially as you're having these conversations. I think a lot of times we don't talk about that conversation that you have when your kids like leave home, right? Like, and you're still worried about their nutrition, their hydration, their sleep, their screen time. You're still worried about all those things. But the ways that you talk about them and the way that you have a consequence, you know, whatever that means, is is different. And but I do think that if you have a good dialogue that you can bring these things up, like, how is your mental health? How is your screen time? You know, how, like, what do you think is the connection? How is that going? is an important part of parenting in young adult kids that I never knew was coming.
Yeah. And also to keep it real, to know that it may get worse before it gets better,
Say more about that.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, there is going to be like, but why, mom? But why can't I? But five more minutes. And, you know, and so if our intention is to really to scale back, we will have to stay strong because, you know, we got to hold our ground and, you know, think about the things that we just talked about and prepare for the worst before it gets better. But do know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. So just keep going.
This has been a really great discussion. It has me, my mind spinning for so much, about, the things that I wish I would have done or didn't. We have time really quick if we just want to go around and just give, I think, your best piece of advice for someone who is looking to walk back screen time and is nervous about it. What would be your best advice?
Take a power pose. Believe in yourself and know that you are making the right choice for your kids.
Oh, that's good.
I'd say take deep breaths and just go back 5 minutes every day. Just small goals.
Yeah. Small
goals. Yep. Baby steps.
I really like this modeling thing too, because I feel like if I'm spending more time with my family and able to find these moments of connection, I think that's a ripple effect for sure in my family.
I would too. And I would say that one thing that has really helped me is, especially when you're trying to cut back on something, is to trick your brain and add something else. So kind of like what Juhi said, you're saying we're going to do less screen time, so we're going to spend more time doing something fun together as a family. Like, we're going to add this. I would think about what you're going to add and focus on that positive thing. Like, we're going to go to the park, after dinner, or we're going to go on a walk, or we're going to do this one, thing together. It's a work in progress. This is why I love the Council of Moms, because we get ideas from each other, and we also get to shame the Berenstain Bears together.
Yeah, which is only fair.
Feels like it has healed something inside of me, because I'll be reading the books and I'll be like, I don't know if this is a good idea, Mama Bear.
Have you ever tried some of her ideas? Because we had a consequence chart like she did in the Berenstain Bears Forget Their Manners, because I thought, well, it worked for brother and sister. Let's try it. Two hours before I was like, this is a terrible idea. That was a rookie mistake.
And you changed your mind. You went with the flow.
I changed my mind.
Not working.
Totally. And so this is where we're at. This is why I come to the Council of Moms. Great parenting advice. Do's and don'ts. We'll share our mistakes. The Council of Moms is a production of BYU Radio. Are you listening? Are you watching it on YouTube? Listen wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like this, please subscribe to the Council of Moms and share it with somebody that you like. Share it with that mom that's, you're like, ooh, I just thought of her. She just popped in your head.
She's struggling.
You share Council of Moms with her.
Share this.
Give her a hug and a cheeseburger and share this with her.
Yeah.
And also send us your questions. You can comment here where you're listening, or you can DM us on Instagram. We read all of the comments. Thanks, and we'll see you metaphorically next time on the Council of Moms.
Bye.
Bye.